important that you understand that what God says is what we need to do. That if we're guided in the right way, that our lives will be rewarded here on earth and we will live with God forever. Our words and our destiny are important. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I began my 66th year serving in this capacity the 1st of August. And God has blessed me to be able to put some words together so that they might deliver that wonderful message of God. The song that John just led to ring out the message. A herald of truth is to tell the truth. And if we do not tell the truth, then people will not know the truth. It's so important that our words be used in the right way to please God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, of course, in verse 7, is the first place that we find God saying, "Don't misuse my name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." As I have listened to young people over the years, I hear them many times use the name of God as a slang word. And God has said, don't do that. He has said, I will not hold you guiltless if you do that. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, he says, "And you shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So you might ask, young people might ask, even people who've lived all their lives might ask, what does it mean to profane the name of the Lord? We hear such deep and powerful statements, as are mentioned in the second psalm and then Jesus on the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is not using the name of God in vain. But if the name of God is used just to fill in, or for some other reason, because we just want to fill in. And it's amazing, we use more words to fill in than we use to convey a message so many times. That's why I wanted us to have this passage read to us from the book of Ecclesiastes, that the preacher is trying to find the right words. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more as we go along here, as the time allows us to do that. You know, down south there's a saying, and I don't mean South Missouri. I'm talking about Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and places like that. There is a statement, shut my mouth, which means stop talking. Sometimes we need someone to tell us to stop talking. And I'm just going to mention it for the lack of time. But Job, in the 40th chapter, previous to that, Job has started talking to God. He's questioning God. Job doesn't know why all this has happened. But now Job begins to question God. And then God sets him upright. And in the 40th chapter, Job says, I shut my mouth. I will not talk anymore. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear what God says. It's so important for us to learn the lessons about that. Miss Clara Eastland was my third grade teacher. She taught me so very, very much. But she used this little thing that everybody just about knows. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There's not a word of truth in that. Words hurt more than sticks and stones. You can remember words that were said to you that you've tried to forget because you don't want to remember them. We need to be careful, our words, and determine our destiny. We go to that passage in the book of Ecclesiastes again. And let's look at it just a little bit more. It says that this, the preacher is looking for the right words. He's looking to say the things that he really wants to say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to read it if the person can ever get to it. In the 12th chapter, he says, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of their collection are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. Read it again and again and realize that it's worth it. I want to tell you that I began when I was 5 years old. That's when I formed my life position. I remember almost everything that happened my fifth year of my life. God blessed me and put me in a place where I learned lots of things. I decided when I was 5 years old that words were important. My parents and my grandparents, two of my grandparents whom I spent a lot of time with during that year, never read the Bible to me. There was a Bible there, but I didn't know what it said. But I discovered that words were so important. That it was important for me to say to people, I love you. And that it was important to do certain things in my life. Now later I learned about God. And I learned that God said, words are important. Be careful with the words you use, as we've used some of these. And there were plenty of folks in my family who did not regard God as they should. Now, I learned a little lesson about that. I have to confess, I don't remember this. I was 18 months old. And I had a broom handle, an old worn-out broom. And I was riding it around the house and talking to it like my grandfather talked to his mule. And I learned rather quickly and severely, you don't talk that way to a broom handle or a mule. And so I got that lesson. And I learned that words were important. It's so very important to do that. But I want to tell you that from that time until now, I am working to be able to use the right words in the right way. And the psalmist says it so beautifully in the last verse of the 19th Psalm. Yes, you're going to quote it with me, some of you. I see you every time I do it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You do not know, if you are not a public speaker, how important it is that you get up and say the right things. Did I know I was going to say what I'm going to say when I got up here this morning? No, unfortunately, I'm not that well trained. I have to memorize things if I'm just going to repeat them. But the words that I speak are to come from my heart, and they need to sound the way that they really should. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, he says, that's chapter 3. This is chapter 4 over here. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the needs for the moment. I'd like for you to, I have that underlined, circled, and there's a blue marker across it. Because I need to read that over and over and over again. I need to say the things that I need to say in the way that I need to say them. You ever hear someone say, well, I'm sorry. Are they? You know, we can say the words and them not mean what they say. It's so important for us to do that. And then we say things, did you ever have to hug your brother or your sister and say, I'm sorry? It was so hard to say, hard to get out. Because you weren't sorry. But if you didn't want a beating, you could say, I'm sorry. That was the lesser of the two bad things that were going to happen. But we can say I'm sorry and really mean it. And it's so powerful. Many times things get out of whack. And we can say, I'm sorry, and get them straightened out. I started this sermon. I have the note at the top of it. Some of you might wonder if I picked this sermon because of the present atmosphere in our world. Well, I put this sermon together in October of 01. Been a while. And there's enough material here that I knew full well I could preach longer than Jeff. I just thought of that. He'd like that. But what I want to do is get this message in your heart and assure you that our words can seal our eternal destiny. We can learn how to talk. We can let the words from our hearts come as they need to, so that we can do the will of God. Psalms 39 and verse 1 says, there is a time to be quiet. There's a person here, I'm so grateful today to have some members of my immediate family here for a little more punishment. They've all heard me preach a lot. But I remember telling one young man a number of years ago, the best way to keep from getting in a fight with a guy who's trying to beat up on you is put your hands in your pockets and keep your mouth shut. It's awfully hard for somebody to start a fight. Now, you can be knocked several feet for that. I don't guarantee that that won't happen. But most of the time, not saying anything is one of the most powerful things that we can do. There's going to be quite a bit of this left over. So if you want to come tonight, I might talk about some of it. But I'll do it later. But I'm just enjoying you listening to me. I always appreciate that. Standing out in the woods, the wonderful, beautiful ponderosa and Douglas fir in Idaho, in a place that elk and deer ought to be running all over you, but unfortunately they didn't know about the place, so we weren't doing very well. But my friend George Lee, who was preaching in Mountain Home, Idaho at the time, said, you know, Arvin came home the other day. Arvin's 12. He said, Arvin came home the other day with a black eye. And I said, son, haven't I taught you not to fight? He said, yeah, I know, Dad. But he said, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. And he said, this guy hit me. And I figured he wanted me to hit him back. Dirt didn't ever tell me if he got out of that or not. But it's important that we learn to treat other people right, no matter how they treat us. That's what Jesus is talking about. So very, very important. And I'd like to leave these words with you. James chapter 3, from a 1901 edition of the RSV, which says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, and watch it. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Brother, that's what we need to work on in this world. The world is in a bad, bad shape. And the only way to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, as Jesus said to us in Matthew 5, the only way to do that is to use the right words at the right time to serve God in the right way. In John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and does not receive my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And Jesus did not say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said that and something else. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth isn't going to make you free unless you embrace it, unless you speak it, unless you live it. It's so important for us to realize that our words will determine our destiny. Yes, there's another passage in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew where Jesus is talking far more sternly about our words and the things we say. And the very heart of that that I'll share with you, and you can look it up yourself. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My grandfather, the one that owned the mule, my grandfather just had such a hard time not cursing in front of everybody. He finally quit before he died because he spent a lot of time with me as a teenager. But put him in a group of women and he was stone silent because he didn't believe he should cuss in front of women and he couldn't talk without cussing. Okay? Learn how to speak. Learn what to say. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable to God, and you'll do more good than thousands of people who don't know how to talk. This morning, if there's anything that you need to do in your life, I'm not trying to correct your language off. I'll take 30 seconds more and tell you about Howard Daniels. Howard Daniels was a truck driver. You can imagine how he talked. I studied with Howard, and he was hesitating about being baptized. And he said, Herman, I know that my language is awful. And I'm not sure I can live up to being a Christian. My mouth is going to be my downfall. Oh, I remember what I told him. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I remember what I told him. I said, Howard, God will help you if you really want to live for Him. Fast forward 6 months, and I'm again in this place where Howard lives. And I said, Howard, how are you doing with your language? He said, I've had absolutely no trouble. I quit all my foul language because my life is different. That's what you have to do, is change your life to start with. Then you can work on changing the little things that need to be done. Maybe they're not too small. But if there's anything that you need to do that we can help you with to make your life better, we stand ready to help you. And we encourage you to come as John leads us in this beautiful song, He Selects.